CNN cannot project that progressive Abdul El-Sayed has clinched Michigan's Democratic Senate primary, defeating Congresswoman Haley Stevens in what was a very bitter and contentious race. El-Sayed will advance to the midterm elections and take on Republican former Congressman Mike Rogers. That's coming up in November.
That's amazing. I mean, that is amazing news. Sandy Rios with you, that the potential governor of Michigan will be a Muslim doctor who's not just this nice Muslim doctor that you go to for neurology or whatever you're thinking about, but he is deeply connected to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the largest organization, the most influential. CARE is their media, their PR group, Council for American and Islamic Relations, Muslim Students Association. I mean, all these Islamic students, whatever, they're on college campuses. That's who he is. Wolf should have said, not only progressive, but, you know, an Islamist. Abdul El-Sayed has just won the nomination for the governor. It's really pretty scary, and we're going to have some frank discussion about that today with a former senator from Michigan who's a great friend of mine. He's been on the show a lot. His name is Pat Kolbeck. He's the very first person that actually taught me about the voting machines because he's an engineer. He used to work with NASA, and he just has a lot of knowledge about these things. So we're going to talk about the machines. We're going to talk about Islam and the Muslim Brotherhood and the dangers of El-Sayed. And by the time we finish, I think that you will, I hope, have learned some things. Some of this stuff I've been saying for years, but because it hasn't been as urgent or as close to us, maybe it just is like, put that in the back of your mind and think about it later. But now we have to think about it because it's actually getting very, very close. Now, Abdul only won by, I think, less than 2 points. I believe that's what it was, or very slim margins. So that's one comforting thing. But he's now going to go up against Mike Rogers, who's a former FBI agent. And so he is the Republican nominee. And so we'll just see how effective Mike Rogers is in running against Abdul El-Sayed, because Abdul is very charming. Oh, my goodness. He's handsome. He's so well-spoken. And that's what the way most Muslims, except for, let's see, Ilhan Omar. She would not fall in this category. But most of them are very slick. They use American language and slang, and they present well. But if you touch their hot button, they don't present so well. In fact, Pat, we'll have a story later on in the program where he's on the stage with El-Sayed. He has a story about El-Sayed, Mr. Calm, cool and collected, charming, smiling, lost his temper with Pat. And we'll talk to you about that. So all of that on today's show. But first, for whatever reason, the abortion pill is still legal. I know that Health and Human Services is doing testing, and they're trying to bring some research to prove to the skeptics how dangerous it is to women. I think they're going to find a lot of proof if we don't have obstruction, which is always a danger. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, most women are ordering these abortion pills, and it is two pills, through the mail to first kill, then expel their babies. And this can happen at any stage of pregnancy. It's so grotesque. It's really hard to believe. And many states, this is fine. And you can do whatever you want. And preborn, you might have heard the last time Dan Steiner, who's the CEO of preborn, told us on this show that they have women coming into the clinics. This happens frequently, holding their dead bodies of their baby, you know, begging for help. It's just, these are the things that they're not being reported. You know, the news media, you can't trust them. I'm sure we've told you that before. You can't trust them. You've got to find a voice that you can trust. I hope I'm that for you. But the abortion pills are still available, and this is still happening. And so preborn really is the redeeming alternative for women who are considering abortion because they get an ultrasound, and when young moms or older moms see their babies in the womb, they usually just say, oh, I can't do that. I can't terminate their life. And so it's just I always think it's just God's way. It's a beautiful way of stopping abortion. It's $28 for one ultrasound. It's $28, and all you have to do is go to preborn.com slash Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, stay tuned because we're going to talk about the Minnesota primary, and that's taking place tomorrow. This is today, as I'm speaking to you, August the 10th. So Tuesday, August the 11th, is the Minnesota primary. So we're going to be talking about Mike Lindell, who's leading in the races so far. And so we'll discuss all of that on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Right now, we are less than 5 days away from the primary election here in Minnesota. And now we have our final results in the three key statewide races.
Two of the three races appear to be extremely tight. But as Chief Political Reporter Tom Hauser tells us, primaries are always difficult to survey because voter turnout is so unpredictable in summer elections.
We got to come together, work together, and fight together.
The Minnesota Republican race for governor continues to be upside down from the results of the GOP convention in May, when Kendall Qualls won endorsement, with Lisa Damith second and Mike Lindell third. In our final pre-primary KSTP Survey USA poll, Qualls gains 6 points, but remains in third at 17%, behind Mike Lindell, who is down 1 point at 34%, and Lisa Damith at 28, up 2 points. However, 16% remain undecided in an election where turnout is both crucial and unpredictable.
The governor's poll for the GOP really indicates it's anybody's race. There's a large margin of error. Mike Lindell has a lead, but given the margin of error, you can't be very confident in it.
Lindell led in all three of our pre-primary polls by between 5 and 9 points. But Carleton College political analyst Stephen Scheer says the election could be decided by voting groups that reliably show up at primaries.
What's particularly important are older voters and college-educated voters. And Lisa Damith has large leads amongst those groups, which can give her some optimism about Election Day.
I'm running because I'm ready for that fight.
Okay, so why did I start with that? Because I think the irony of this is that this is Minnesota. Yes, we're going to talk about Michigan primarily today, but Minnesota is going to have their primary next Tuesday. And Mike Lindell, as they finally admitted, like 2 minutes into the report, well, not two, I'm exaggerating, a minute into it, is leading in all three polls. And he's not down by a point. They said that in a sneaky way because he's not down, he's up. And so that I wanted to start with some good news, and to help me talk about that good news is Pat Kolbeck. Pat is such a great friend, and if you listen to my morning show all those years, Pat was a frequent guest because he was a state senator in Michigan. He was an expert, really. He was one of the first people that talked to me about voting machines and really made me so steadfastly convinced that that there was a huge problem with them, and it was very controversial, and I joined the controversy because I believe Pat. Pat's an engineer, an author, a politician, and he's currently the COO of Lindell Management. Yes, that's Mike Lindell. And Pat has done so much work in election integrity, especially on those machines. And by the way, all of his information, or at least a lot of it, can be found at electioncrimebureau.com. That's electioncrimebureau.com. And with all of that, Pat Kolbeck, thank you for joining me.
Oh, it's great to be with you again, Sandy.
Okay, so Mike Lindell. Is he really going to win, you think?
I do think so. As a matter of fact, I'm heading out to his victory party to be with Mike tomorrow. And actually, the primary is August 11th. So we'll know pretty soon what's going on with those polls. For me,
it seems like
they're trying to shape the battlefield after they're trying to shape the post-election narrative right now.
Oh, I think so, too. I'm so sorry. We're recording on the 10th, and the primary is tomorrow. Okay, so I misspoke on that. So that's important, because we're going to run this today, Pat, because I want people to go out and vote. Wisconsin's coming up, too, and I'm going to say a few things about those races. Big, important races coming up in these states in the next week or so. And so tomorrow. So are you concerned at all about, let's just say, machines, voter fraud, all of that?
Well, consider what happened in Minnesota state nominating convention, where the machines locked up, that they were using to tally the votes. They locked up, on the third or fourth vote. And that's the vote that happened to kick Mike out of the race for their nominating convention. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned about the machines and the fact that the whole Minnesota Republican Party, or at least the chair of the Republican Party, has got his sights on Mike and has put out a press release that would make it very difficult to unify with this guy after Mike wins. But he was lying about Mike in this press release, and those lies have been picked up by the media and pushed out there. And so Mike is, as you might expect with Mike Lindell, he's got some headwinds that he's got to face. But you know what? He's focused on what the mission is and just keeps plugging along. And the fact that he got President Trump's endorsement was obviously a lot of wind in his sails to combat that headwind. So I'm very optimistic, and a lot of people are optimistic that he's going to carry the day tomorrow. And here's the funny thing about all this. The more they attack him, the more he typically gains in the poll, because a lot of people weren't even aware that he was running.
Oh, that's really interesting. Isn't that funny? That sounds like God to me. You know, what does, man meant it? For evil, God meant for good. You know, the interesting thing, it's not interesting, because I'm in the thick of this and have been for a long time. And I'll pick on Republicans because I usually do right now, because I'm so disgusted with the party, and the party, for the most part, hates people like Mike Lindell. They are not MAGA. They are embarrassed by real people who say real things, and they're hell-bent on defeating all these MAGA candidates because they can't control them. And so there's a battle. It's not like it's not something small. They are really trying to defeat MAGA candidates. And in fact, President Trump has endorsed some people that in this primary that are not really MAGA. And I know the people behind him making those decisions. And I don't know if he understands where they stand, but they don't like conservatives, not rock solid conservatives like Mike Lindell. But anyway,
it harkens back. Remember the Tea Party movement. There's a lot of folks, and here's the divide. There's a lot of people that are in the party that see the party as a career path. And so all these little upstarts, like myself when I ran coming out of the Tea Party, when Mike ran, because he wasn't active in the Minnesota GOP at all, they look at him as outsiders that are impeding their climb up the ladder within the party. And so we'll see what happens.
I know that's absolutely true. And I think you would also agree with what I said about control. They can't make Mike do anything. They don't have any control. And the way the system works right now, it's like, if you did this for me, I'll do that for you. And I know you don't really like this, but maybe if you could just hold your nose and vote for this, I'll do this for you. This is the way it works. It's just so corrupt. It's worse than that, actually. That's the kindest way I can describe it.
I'm glad you bring that up. There's a representative in Michigan House. I won't say his name to protect the innocent or whatever, but I'll never forget, they did this arm-twisting thing to try to get him to vote on a tax increase to pay for roads. And they kept pummeling him, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Finally, he said, okay, I'll vote for it. And right after he did it, he had this buyer's remorse, and he felt so guilty about it that he blasted it out to everybody saying, I feel so dirty afterwards, and let everybody know. And he was never the same after that. And he was a staunch conservative up to that point, but they wanted to break him, and they did.
Oh, that's a story could be repeated in so many ways. You see it in Washington all the time. You wonder why conservatives go there, and suddenly they forget who they really are. and they maybe say the words, but oh, it's just legion. The problem is legion. There are very few men who will not bend or break. You're one of those, Pat, and that's why you didn't last. And so God bless you. And Mike Lindell's going to be one of those. So that's kind of exciting. All right, let's...
It's going to be really exciting because Mike's plans for the state of Minnesota are really going to change things for the better for the people of Minnesota. And the political class is not going to like some of the stuff he's proposing.
Oh, you're kidding. Anyway, so let me just be really clear. Those of you in Minnesota or those of you who have family in Minnesota, and I know lots of Minnesotans here. I know lots of them. And they go home, you know, when it's, and they have family there. This is happening tomorrow. So don't let your family members forget that Mike Lindell is really wants to take back Minnesota. And Lord knows, even if you don't like Mike Lindell, surely you know there has to be sane governance. Even if you don't like his policies, at least he'll bring sanity to what's happening in Minnesota. And so the primary is tomorrow. That would be August the 11th. All right, let's move to machines because President Trump, you know, made that famous speech. It's probably been a month now, it seems, where he talked about the voting machines. And before that, Tulsi Gabbard, one of the first speeches she made or presentations or talks was on the corruption of the voting machines. Nobody could believe that Tulsi Gabbard would say that as the new director of DNI, Defense National Intelligence. But she did. So then the wheels began to come off the bus until President Trump made that presentation and then others. But okay, Pat, that's great. And my heart beat fast when I heard that. But what's been done about it? Do we still have these voting machines for this election?
We still have these voting machines. President Trump has removed all of the chairmen from the Election Assistance Commission that would approve new voting machines deliberately because the ones that are in there right now, they've never secured these machines in the first place. So I think he's keying it up for everybody to get out their old disaster recovery plans because the president declassified a lot of materials that indicated the capabilities and the intent of foreign adversaries to subvert our elections via these electronic voting systems. One of them was a declassified CIA note that specifically addressed the fact that Venezuela intended to influence the U.S. elections, and they had the capability of doing so with their electronic voting systems without detection. Matter of fact, their part of their design feature was to make sure that you could not detect the fraud. So when the CIA concluded that we saw no evidence of it being used to manipulate the 2020 election. Well, guess what? Their own note talks about the fact that they had designed these systems to prevent any trace of malfeasance. So it's pretty clear that it's getting out there. And the systems that they were talking about, they have a strong lineage or a connection with all the systems that are being used in the United States or all the major systems, everything from Dominion voting systems, ESNS voting systems, and a lot of the personnel, some of the key personnel that worked in Venezuela for Smartmatic are now working for Hart Intercivic. So all the major voting systems in the United States tie into this, and it even gets worse than that, I hate to say. So you've heard a lot about how the intel community was actively obstructing. That's part of the D-class, is that the United States' own intelligence community was actively obstructing the release of this information to President Trump.
That's right.
And in so doing, they prevented us from taking appropriate action, and they shut down a lot of lawsuits and everything else that was going on. Well, that frustration or that lack of intel impacts every single one of us. And the fact that the intel community is still actively obstructing the president on a lot of those fronts is should be concerning to everybody.
Absolutely. And they, you know, so all this controversy, I can't think of his name in this moment, the acting DNI after
Bill Pulte or Jay?
Yes, Pulte. Did a lot of things to move the ball down there, fired a lot of people at CIA, did a lot of hard stuff. And so it's funny, Pat, that the Senate, who didn't want to do anything, they didn't really like to do anything, but rushed to confirm the other nominee. And so, because Bill Pulte is like, he's like fire, like house on fire, moving, you know, doing all these great things. So do you know what's happened after that? The real...
Well, maybe he should be the new Senate Majority Leader.
Oh, I would vote for that. I would vote for that, yeah. All right, so bottom line, though, like California still uses Smartmatic, and they just had... You know, this...
Well, just L.A. County, but yeah.
Oh, just say that,
you know,
L.A. County?
Just L.A. County, okay. You know, where they had Karen Bass and Spencer Pratt and all that fun stuff, right?
Are they still counting? They could be, you know.
I think they're counting for the next election already.
I'm sure they are.
Number they need.
But see, the point is, it's so horrible, it's funny. But it's got real-life consequences. They still use Smartmatic, which was the machine that came out of Venezuela and grew into all these other... machines and companies, and so it's still there. It's still there. I don't know how we're going to win any race in the midterms. Especially, I think they've targeted the 10 swing states for the most part. I think I read that somewhere.
Well, the first phase of all this is disclosure and getting the information out to everybody, which is what the president and his administration are doing with these declassifications, and because it's exposing the headwinds that the president is facing inside his own administration. Keep in mind that Chris Krebs, who was heading up CISA in the wake of the 2020 election, said it was the most secure election in American history. At the same time he was saying that, we now know that in a major battleground state in the state of Arizona, we now know that they made a public disclosure that the intel community was aware of the fact that a hacker had stolen 600,000 voter records during that election. So he's saying it's the most secure election in American history, but they know that the election system in one of the battleground states was compromised. I also have access to a report that was an internal, they call it an Amber Alert report for CISA, that identified that not only, as DNI Gabbard said, were there vulnerabilities in these electronic voting systems, they also identified that these vulnerabilities had active exploits during the 2020 election as well, which should raise everybody's eyebrow. And the most frustrating part about all this, which is what we've been dealing with for the last 6 years, is that we are not being told the truth by the same government agencies that are supposed to be securing these elections.
I know that. I've been told, look, you know a lot more than I do, Pat, but I hear these things. And I understand that these agencies, and even part of our Trump's government apparatus, the Trump administration, are obstructing. Just like we talked about earlier about candidates, that they're obstructing, they're not turning things over. And the other thing is, when President Trump made that speech, Pat, I'm sure that you know all about this, but hardly anybody really covered it. And even Fox, they played the speech, and then they didn't even talk about it. I watched the next day. No one would even talk about that speech. And so there's still this censorship.
Yeah, and, when the Republicans took control of the House back in 2023, they formed a weaponization of government committee that did investigations on this censorship. And they issued a report that highlighted that you may have heard it in its various forms, like the Twitter files, that kind of stuff that was out there.
Yes, absolutely.
But they identified that the federal government, CISA, DHS, Global Engagement Center, were all engaged in an active censorship of people talking about elections. And, oh, by the way, they had the same scheme in place for COVID called the Virality Project, and they created this partnership called the Election Integrity Partnership that connected the federal government to all the big tech and all the traditional news outlets, and they would give them the equivalent of a 4 a.m. talking point memo that said, these guys need to be censored. Here's the official fact check. Make sure these guys pay for what they're trying to get out to the American people. That's the frustrating part. And, Trump's been calling them fake news for quite some time. Well, and these guys are getting fake news from folks inside the federal government.
Pat, interestingly, it makes sense.
By the way, that's sedition. That's another word for sedition.
Yes. I would call it treason. That's what I've been calling it. But this is the Fauci model. This is the Fauci COVID model. to lie and to get. They got the media to do the same thing. All the social media, we know that. And the scary thing is, Pat, I've been doing some things. I'm always trying to find something because I'm preparing for shows. And even just today, I had a really hard time. There are things that they just slow walk or they block on social media now. I mean, like, well, I'll say not social media. I'll say like Google, like YouTube, all of these things. They're still not telling us the truth. And there was something on Facebook I tried to access that someone had sent me. I couldn't get to it. I couldn't get to it. I think it's happening now. Have you? Is anyone talking about that?
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting shadow banned right now myself because I, particularly when I'm talking about topics like Abdul Sayed, because I ran against him during the 2018 governor race in Michigan, so I had a little bit of exposure with him, and a lot of my posts trying to share the truth about his ties to the Muslim Brotherhood terrorist organization are actively getting suppressed. So I'm experiencing it to this day as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to kind of do a correction right now and play Kyle Scheidler talking about Ayel Sayed, who is the gentleman who just won the primary for the Democratic nominee for the governor's race. And so let's just hear what Kyle Scheidler. Kyle works for Center for Security Policy. He's a good friend. He's been on the show many times. And he was testifying before the Senate committee. So you'll hear Ted Cruz and Kyle Scheidler. Here we go.
Abdul El Sayed's candidacy for senator in Michigan concern you?
Yes, sir, it does.
Why is that?
Well, to begin with, I look at the connections that his father-in-law, Chukwuka Taib, has to Brotherhood-linked groups. This includes being the president one time of CARE Michigan, also his presence on the Islamic Society of North America Founders Committee, which is only for those most exclusively devoted to ISNA and provides significant amounts of funding. There are other known Brotherhood members on that committee. I would also look at El Sayed's ties to a group called MGAGE, which purports to be a Muslim sort of get out the vote or candidate recruitment organization, but it has close ties to CARE. It was created by a former CARE member who at one time was on a terror watch list and was also a consultant to convicted terrorist Samuel Arian.
Do you believe the Islamic Society of North America, or ISNA, is an ongoing part of the Muslim Brotherhood network in the United States?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, so there's a lot more to say about that. But the Muslim Brotherhood, before I let Pat respond to this, is something, of course, you've heard me speak about many times. They are the most present group in the United States, the Muslim Brotherhood, that particular branch of Islam. And they are brutal. They embrace Sharia. They believe in deceit. They believe in taking over countries by stealth, by lying to people like us, the infidels. It's actually very frightening, and I'm going to bring more evidence about that later. But, Pat, when you ran against him, what did you learn? What did you see?
Well, I was speaking at an event called See Something, Say Something with former counterterrorism expert from DHS, Phil Haney, and also former member of the Muslim Brotherhood, now devout Christian, Kamal Saleem. And we were highlighting evidence that the Muslim Brotherhood was on the rise in Michigan in particular, and highlighted that they were implementing their plan for what they call civilization jihad, as documented in a document called the Explanatory Memorandum. And so I started sharing my findings around these ties with identified between the Muslim Brotherhood and organizations like ISNA, like CARE, like the Muslim Students Association, which is where El Sayed was a vice president and his wife was a president of the Muslim Students Association. By the way, the pledge for this Muslim Students Association includes the words, "Jihad is the way, I will die to establish Islam." That's not exactly the Boy Scout oath. And so I started sharing all these ties between these organizations out into the public, and it culminated in a forum in front of 150 members of Michigan Press Association. And this ties into that media suppression of important news. During that forum, I highlighted these ties. I said, he's tied to this Muslim Brotherhood terrorist organization. And And it got under his collar. And normally, Abdul al-Sayed is very slick. He's very charismatic. He's very quick on his feet. But this got under his collar because I would not give up on this topic. And he got up at the end of this forum and stated in front of 150 members of the Michigan Press Association to me that you may not hate Muslims, but Muslims definitely hate you. And I defy anybody who's listening to this broadcast to find a news story from that time that features that as the headline. All the headlines are about me being Islamophobic and racist and all that kind of stuff. And that's part of what they do to suppress the narrative. And listen, I was as Joe Friday as possible, connecting the dots, and got subject to a lot of name calling, you know, all the typical pejoratives. But the facts remain: they were trying to bury his ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. And I'm thankful to say, some of the same people that distanced themselves from me during that time frame. I mean, Sean Hannity had endorsed me for my government run. He actually dropped me from an endorsement after he found out that I tied al-Sayed to the Muslim Brotherhood. Now Sean's actually talking about al-Sayed's ties to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, so that's the way it goes. You know that.
So this is all tied in with this media control and this information control. Because here we were. Here's the most startling part about this. It's not even what al-Sayed said to me during that to reveal his true character. It's the fact that there were 150 members of the press association there that heard that, and it was like it never happened. And matter of fact, there was never, ever any video release of that event. If it wasn't for the fact that I asked one of the members of our campaign team to record it on video during the event, we wouldn't have had the video proof we had that he said that. So that's what we're dealing with.
You know, it reminds me, Pat, I know that we've probably talked about, we did mostly election integrity, but I went to D.C. the first time in 2001. That was right after 9/11, and actually two weeks after 9/11. And as president of Concerned Women for America, one of the first briefings I got was from Frank Gaffney on the Muslim Brotherhood and on what happened on that day. I can't go into all of this.
Frank has been great. He's been fantastic on this topic.
He's become one of my dearest friends, and I learned so much from him about this. But while I was there, I was part of Frank and I both were part of a conservative meeting that happened every Wednesday. And so it was supposed to be a conservative, activists and leaders in D.C. And so it was. I don't want to mention, I hate to mention too many names. I have to just be careful. I don't try to slander people without thought. But one of the guys, the guy that led it, was very, very well known in D.C. Just his roots went very deep. People trusted him. And along comes this member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And, okay, I don't lose you. But there's another conservative meeting that I was also attending. And this gentleman would show up, and he was a Republican. And the White House loved him at the time. It was the Bush White House. And they pushed him forward, and they gave him positions. And so he started coming to that second meeting. And Frank did research on him, and we had a video of him saying to a Muslim group, "We love death more than they love life." He's actually saying this.
Yeah.
Okay, so we show them this video. And when he showed up at another meeting, Frank actually called him out. And called the meeting out. And guess what happened, Pat? Frank got removed from that organization, completely removed.
Yeah.
And the Muslim Brotherhood operative, they would not listen to us. They would not listen. And I ended up leaving too. And it was the centerpiece for conservatives at that time. So that's how bad it is. I could even say more about that, but it's something like what you experienced. So.
Yeah, I mean, my own party came out against me and disavowed me in the wake of stating something that now everybody understands was the truth all along.
Well, that's what happened to Frank, too. He became like, he had cooties. I can't think of a better way to say it. They just treated him like he was dirt, and many of them still do. And he was right all the way. You know, that exploratory memorandum, what you and I both know, that actually came from a FBI raid while the FBI was still actually doing good things. Accidentally, it was an accidental discovery in the basement of this apartment.
A secret sub-basement of the basement.
Oh, was it? Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So here's this whole plan to destroy our country. They lay it out. And by the way, and it's the Muslim Brotherhood. And it doesn't matter that we have their plans. The Republican leadership won't listen. Won't listen. That's how bad it is. But I think now people are beginning to listen. I think they're getting a little bit fed up with the Muslim influence. That's what I think. Do you see that in Michigan? Or do you think people are just, he's so charismatic. He's handsome. You know, he's a doctor. He'd be a great candidate for governor.
Well, I know a lot of people that are Republicans that crossed over to vote for Abdul al-Sayed's primary opponent in the Democratic primary, and that's what probably made it a lot closer than it would have been otherwise. So I do know that President Trump actually endorsed a candidate for a congressional district, Amir Hassan, that is a devout Muslim, and he lost in his primary. I think people are waking up. I live 20 minutes from Dearborn, and frankly, there's not much difference between the Dearborn community and what my community is developing into right now. So you can't hide from what is happening, and it's important for people to, I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that when we go to the polls, we're not expecting to see all our instructions in Arabic. It's supposed to be in English. And that's what's happening. So people are seeing it in their everyday lives. They're understanding that this isn't just about, they're not interested in assimilation. They're not interested in the values upon which America was founded. They're interested in what they call civilization jihad. That's what's documented in this explanatory memorandum, which is destroying the West from within and replacing it with their own values. And that's not what we're about in America. You can come from anywhere in the world and be in America if you accept the principles that we have defined in our Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We're all created equal, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you don't share those basics, you shouldn't be coming to the United States. If you are coming to the United States and you don't share those appreciation for those values, and you're coming for conquest. And I think myself and many other Americans are more than willing to go off and put that line in the sand and say, nope, we're not willing to be taken in any way, shape, or form. We're going to take a stand, and we're going to testify to the truth, whether or not it hurts us or not.
You know, I just saw a former Muslim from an African country on a video. I you know how you see videos online and you don't even know, but he's speaking to a group, and basically what he's saying, after laying out all the incompatibilities of Islam, he says, America, defend yourself. Defend yourself. Don't let this happen. Defend yourself. And I think people maybe just have not realized how serious the threat is, Pat. They don't realize that they're serious. And I, you know what? Actually, it wouldn't be a bad idea to play something right now. This came out in 2025. I just remembered it this morning and ask Adam to find it. But this, you might remember this was filmed. Now, again, we're talking about Western civilization, not just America. They want to destroy Western civilization because it's based on Judeo-Christian values and all the other things.
And that's ultimately what it's all about. It's that battle right there in the spiritual battle line.
Yes. So I want to explain, because this is Australia, but there's, at least they have been, part of Western civilization. So these are two nurses who happen to be connect with this Jewish podcaster. Do you know what I'm going to talk about here?
No.
Okay. All right. So I don't exactly know how it happened, but you're going to hear he's an Israeli, actually, podcaster or whatever he is. He's on TikTok, I think. And these Australian nurses, and they're all on TikTok. And this is how it sounds. This is clip six.
You know what?
How are you, man?
Good, how are you, my man?
Pretty good. Are you a nurse, a doctor?
I'm a doctor, my man.
A doctor? For what?
In hospital. What about you? Where are you from?
I'm from Israel, from the Holy Land.
You know what? I'm going to be really honest with you.
All right.
I'm going to be really honest with you. You actually got a really, really beautiful eyes.
Thank you, man.
But I'm so upset that you're Israeli. Like, eventually you're going to get killed and you're going to go to Jahannam, inshallah.
But
these pretty eyes, they should stay in this world for longer.
Why do you think I'm going to get killed?
Because inshallah, one day, God will win.
Maybe because I served in the IDF. That's why?
That's definitely the answer. Correct.
That's the reason, because I served in the IDF. What's the problem with that? What's the issue with that?
Because you killed innocent people. That's
killed? I was protecting my country.
So you kill innocent people to protect your country. What kind of soul do you have? You have no soul.
In the war, people die, as you know.
No.
They started the war.
Not 1,200.
Who started?
57.
It's okay. Your time will come.
Who started this war?
I hope you guys...
Who elected Hamas?
It's Palestine's country, not
Hello.
Your country. Hello.
How are you? What's your name?
No, none of you.
We're talking politely here.
One day, your time will come and you will die the most horrible
death. You sprayed hate. We sprayed positivity. We spread protection. We spread peace.
Listen to me.
And you spread
death. When your time comes.
How are you, doctors?
Wait. I want you to remember my face.
Okay. Gotcha. I have a question, though.
Disgusting death.
All right. For sure. I have a question, though.
I
have a question. Let's say an Israeli. God forbid, I won't treat them.
I'll kill them.
You'll kill them? So if an Israeli is in Australia and God forbid something happened to him, and he comes to your hospital, would you kill him?
You have no idea how many Israeli khara dog came to this hospital, and I sent him to Jahannam.
For real?
I literally sent him to Jahannam.
Actually, they censored some of that, Pat, because the nurse goes on to describe how she's going to kill him. This is two, they're really nurses, I think. One of them said he was a doctor, but as I was reading, I think they're both nurses. I wanted people to understand, this is 2017, but their idea of how they should respond to Western civilization and to non-Muslims hasn't changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of ties back into Dr. Abdul Asayed. And it makes me wonder, I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but it does make me wonder about the Muslims in the medical profession. You know, a couple of years ago, there were girls that were being, mutilation.
Female genital mutilation, which they used to be, I co-sponsored the bill to make it illegal in Michigan. Now the Democrats have made it legal again.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So, Pat, you might have just answered my question about how people are feeling about Islam. I mean, if the legislature, is the legislature filled with Muslims?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, Democratic Party in particular, but the Republican Party as well.
That's because of the Republicans. They started it, so... that makes me very sad. But, Pat, all right, so you're leaving tomorrow to go celebrate something, so that's a good thing. And we are all, I'm going to be cheering for Mike Lindell. Heaven knows. You know, he won his lawsuit, right?
Yeah, he's won 2 out of 4 right now, and I've provided the information that should help him win the next 2 as well. I mean, a lot of the declassification that's coming out regarding the machine support Mike. They actually make his case so much stronger. Because Mike's actually having to fight these court battles with one hand behind his back, because some of the information he wants to introduce is actually protected by the intelligence community under a protective order ordered by the court at the request of the former DNI Negroponte. So that's how deep this goes. And so anyway, it's there's a reason for hope, guys. So the big thing is, they have not been successful at, for example, keeping President Trump out of the White House, and they have not been successful at taking control of the House and the Senate recently as well, and despite their control of information. So they've been censoring people trying to get the truth out, and now that the truth is coming out, they have very few places left to hide.
And we're essentially, this is all one big chess game is the way I look at it. And President Trump and others have been systematically knocking off the pawns, knocking off the rooks, knocking off the queen, or not the queen yet, but we're getting there. but they're systematically removing these pieces, and the bad guys have fewer and fewer places to hide. So I'm optimistic in the long run on all this. It's I think there's going to be a lot happening in the next few weeks, in particular in the lead up to the election, that will I think for folks like you and me are going to be we're going to be very happy about hearing. And I don't know, just keep plugging along. I mean, that's occupy till he comes, right? And so we're focused on, you know, doing what God calls us to do in the middle of the storm, and just go forward in confidence that, you know, the truth will come out. And we know in Matthew 10:26 that the truth will come out. And that's what these guys can't stand. They can't stand people of faith that are willing to keep their feet on the rock. And the best way to fight all this is to keep those feet on the rock. Testify to the truth. Don't be mean. Don't fall into their vitriol. Don't become hateful like they are. Don't get caught up in their rhetoric, you know, of calling people names. Just stick to the truth. Get it out there and make sure that we conduct ourselves in a manner that gives glory to God.
Yes, and I'm sure you would agree with me, Pat, that the only thing that's going to push back the Muslim barrage against our country right now, Islamic, is the faith in Christ and boldness. No cowards. People that are willing to just fight like you are and speak the truth like you are. And never give up and be willing. Actually, some of us are going to be killed. And I don't know how soon that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. But that's the only resistance to this doctrine.
And frankly, just remember, too, there's a lot of Muslims that are coming to faith in Christ. And I've seen countless examples of ex-Muslims going into communities like Dearborn and telling them and testifying them to them about this a different way of life, one that's not full of hatred and vitriol, but one that's focused on loving their neighbor, and it's resonating. And God, you know, has been using dreams to get in contact with a lot of these current Muslims to wake them up, to kind of till the ground before these seeds are planted. And that's ultimately what I hope happens across the board. Having said that, you know, there's still going to be a few folks that aren't going to listen to that prompting, and we're going to have to stand our ground.
Yeah, and of course that's true for all the opposition to the gospel, you know, the left too, and Revelation talks about all of that. Some people are going to be suffering all those plagues, and the worst plagues that happened in Egypt, and still say no, but... anyway, meanwhile, we plug away, and I agree with you. I'm glad you brought up the redemption of the Muslims, because I feel the same way. I'll talk about this when you and I are done, but I did an interview with I've done interviews with more than one former Muslim, and it's they really become incredible believers in Christ, and that's really what we pray. And the Lord's going to make that happen, I think. I'm not sure if it'll be in our lifetime. But, Pat, thank you.
One of the names that I mentioned, Kamal Saleem. Remember, I highlighted in that Governor Forum and also the See Something, Say Something Forum. I was speaking with him. The reason he came to Christ was that he actually came over to the United States. His job was to go off and create little terrorist cells in the United States. But he got into a car accident, and he had nobody to take care of him except for a Christian family that brought him into their home and took care of him. And sorry, it gets me a little emotional, he was so touched that he turned his heart over to Christ, and now he is one of the most devout believers out there. And you can look at it; he's got Salem Ministries out there that he's written many books about his experiences. I just encourage you to follow up with Kamal; that'll give you one measure of hope.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for mentioning that, Pat, and kind of bringing this full bore around, not despair, but hope. And so thank you, Pat. Okay, electioncrimebureau.com is Pat's site where you can get a lot of his study. You have a new report on that site, right?
Yeah, it's a 799-page report with 824 election findings supported by 2,517 citations. It was kind of this fit of rage, if you will, for all the people that says there is no evidence of election fraud. I said, oh, yeah, we're going to put it all into one place, and it's going to be across the whole country, and you're going to see how what is happening in Michigan is similar to what's happening in Wisconsin, which is same thing that's happening in Arizona, Georgia, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's in Pennsylvania. Yes. So it's all in there. And so for all your friends that say there is no evidence of election fraud, send them my way.
Okay. All right. We will. We do that right now. electioncrimebureau.com. Pat Kolbeck, a former senator in Michigan who knows what he's talking about in Michigan, and also now the current COO of Mike Lindell's Lindell Management, which I'm so glad you are doing that, Pat. Okay. We'll talk again soon, and thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate that, and have fun at that victory celebration tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Sandy. Knock 'em alive.
Yeah, okay. All right, God bless you, Pat. All right, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Abortions performed by Planned Parenthood were among the top leading causes of death in America, revealing the terrifying truth of the left's anti-life agenda. According to Planned Parenthood's 2022-23 annual report, abortions performed by the organization accounted for the top four leading causes of death. Think about that. Paid for by our tax dollars. And honestly, this freight train is going down the track so fast and so powerfully. It's really hard. It's going to be hard for us to stop this. And I think one of the best ways, I've said before, I'll say again, is preborn. Preborn, who is not part of the government, not part of the public debate or campaigns, but an organization that's simply providing ultrasounds for moms who are pregnant and doubting whether they should carry the baby to allow them to see their baby through ultrasound. It's an amazing process, and it actually works. When the moms see their babies, I think it doubles the chance that they will not take the life of their baby. You know, you can't beat those odds. If you'd like to help, $28 pays for one ultrasound, just one, and you can send however much you can afford. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Troubling details are emerging in the federal case involving a local doctor. Jemana Nagarwala is accused of performing an illegal medical procedure on young girls. The procedure, referred to by prosecutors as female genital mutilation, was allegedly performed at a clinic in Livonia. And now the man whose name is on the front of that clinic was charged in connection with the case. Sean Lay is live with the very latest on charges against this second doctor and his wife, Sean.
That is correct. All three, two doctors and a wife, all charged now in this very troubling case. The FBI says the evidence here is mounting. They are relying on some security camera footage, some taped phone conversations, and the testimony from two very young girls who say they were taken to that clinic where they experienced unthinkable pain. The attorney for Dr. Fakhruddin Attar is upset that he and his wife were arrested today and now have to be held in jail until a detention hearing can be held next week. But it will be in that hearing when more will be presented about religion, culture, tradition versus federal law that prohibits the cutting of the genitals of young girls to keep them from being sexually active later in life.
I think on Wednesday you might learn a little bit more. But they do have a very strong religious belief.
The charges are disturbing that the doctor allegedly conspired with respected Henry Ford emergency room doctor Jemana Nagarwala to bring the girls in from Minnesota, where female genital mutilation is against state law, to the Attar's office in Livonia, where there is not a state law on the books against the practice here in Michigan. The FBI alleges that the girls' genitals were cut by Nagarwala with Attar and his wife assisting. The lawyer for Dr. Nagarwala says only skin was removed in what he calls a Shia Muslim religious practice. Federal investigators say two seven-year-olds suffered pain, cuts, and scarring from the procedure, recognized by the World Health Organization as a human rights violation.
From South, he's been an upstanding member of the medical community for years.
You know, this has been outlawed in many, many states. I guess in Michigan, it's still legal. Can you believe it? But this is part of Islam. And I wanted to play that for you because I wanted you to understand how brutal and violent and dangerous it is. And, of course, one of the reasons that Islam has conquered the world and then lost it again in the Crusades, they conquered most of the known world, is because they do violent things. They intimidate. They scare otherwise civilized people. So when people sort of attribute a lot of successful conversion to Islam, it's really not that, because the religion itself is, it's certainly not a religion. It's a system of rules. Sharia is a banking system. It's a way you treat your wife, which is, by the way, dreadful, that you can kill your girls if they don't, if they disgrace you. It is a system of law that is just completely incompatible with American law, and it never will be compatible. So we at Houston, we have a problem, and so we have to describe Islam as a system, like not as a religion, but as a system. And I think it really is a political system, is basically what it is. And Allah is thrown in there for good measure. But it's they don't, people, as I understand it, Muslims cannot be faithful Muslims without embracing Sharia. And Sharia is all of this horrible stuff, like female mutilation, genital mutilation on these little girls. Is that sickening or what? Right. So I guess heads up, just consider that you've been warned and need to act accordingly, because Muslims are running all over in the country. And I think, you know, what? How do we combat this? Well, I think that every person that runs for office or even obtains citizenship should put their hand, should swear that they are embracing American law and also denying Sharia. I don't think they would do that. I don't think they would do that. So that's my loose suggestion. It needs to be honed a bit. But if your really fine Muslim neighbors are not speaking out against all of this and are not making it clear that they're not on that page, then I think you have to be very careful. That doesn't mean you can't be kind to them. You can't tell them about Jesus, for heaven's sake. But if they are really as good Muslims, if they really are, I think they need to be criticizing this. And, of course, they don't because they're afraid. Yeah, so that's the way this system works. We can't be ruled by fear. It reminds me of during the revolution in Russia, they weren't making much progress because people were not really crazy about what communism was teaching. And they were happy with their lives, at least not unhappy enough to embrace this ragtag group of communists. And so the turning point was when Lenin said, well, what's missing is violence. We have to start doing violence, and then people will buckle and they'll listen to us and they'll crumble. And that's what he did. That's what they did. They started using violence, and that's how communism took control in Russia. So same principle, just different group of people. And, of course, all people are capable of this kind of evil. And I think we have to remember that Muslims don't hold the corner on evil, but they do, maybe proportionately they do in the world. So, all right, well, I think I've said enough today, and I want to remind you that Preborn is our sponsor, and they do such wonderful work, saving the lives of babies in such a redemptive way, to show that ultrasound to moms who are not sure if they want to keep their baby. They see the baby and they just can't terminate the life. It's a marvelous thing. And if you want to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.